Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. The History of Economic Thought website, right, Zippy, describes, consistent with my own understanding, the Salamanca, am I saying that right, David? Salamanca Jesuit approach to morality and economic life and politics. This is what they wrote, quote, "It is common to associate early Jesuit philosophers like Leonard Lessius, Luis Molina, and Juan de Marijana with the Salamanca school. The Jesuit order, Society of Jesus, founded in 1540 by St. Ignatius de Loyola, was erected to combat the appeal of Protestantism. The scholastic doctrine of just price was rejected out of hand as all too divine. The Jesuits arguing that value is a human affair and was determined by natural human interaction on markets. They followed much the same line on money and inflation. On moral defenses of usury and profit, the Jesuits were eager to reform Catholic doctrine to bring it more in line with current practice. To ease their efforts to overcome the resistance of Protestant towns to re-Catholicization." In other words, hey, llamas, hey, falling away. You can come back because we changed that rule. Yeah, God was a liar. Jesus, now he didn't know. Oh, come on. Mitter Protestant, please. Our Lord didn't mean what he said when he talked about adulterers and multiple marriages and divorces and all that. He didn't mean any of that. Come back, please come back. In other words, let's change the truth. Well, if you're going to do that, well, then you're actually going to have to then change the definition of the truth. What does our Lord tell Pilate, Pontius Pilate, in his dialogue? What do you say is truth, Pilate? Dismissively axes our Lord, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but through me." Now, you may think that that's just, well, Mitter Church, but that's written. He said that under duress. He didn't really mean anything by that. Oh, really? As David Spade said in the movie Joe Dirt, "Is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back?" Really? I think long and hard about that if I were you. As a matter of fact, I have thought long and hard about it on your behalf. And I've concluded that born on date 33A or 30 AD, March the 24th, 25th, 30 AD, 10 o'clock in the morning, born on date, if it was true then, it's true today. But that's just me. Continuing on now with Zippy under "We're All Jesuits Now." Quite more controversial was the Jesuit view of the basis of civil government, something like the Salamanca scholars had largely and judiciously avoided. In line with their general approach, Jesuits like Molina, de Mariana, and Suarez proposed that government rested on human consent. Well, here's where you get into trouble. When you rest anything on human consent, you know, when you rest anything on the idea that there is that you should desire human respect, you're in trouble. As a Christian, you're already in trouble. You've already crossed the line from truth into heresy. You're moving that way. because you can't. Again, as our Lord tells us, you can't serve two masters. This, the Zippy Catholic. Jesuit musings on the human rather than divine sources of government made them downright subversive to the established order. It did not help matters that, notoriously, the Jesuit philosopher Juan de Mariana, 1598, openly contemplated that the murder of a monarch might be justified if he proved tyrannical to the people. This was uttered at a tense time of notorious political assassinations. Henry IV of France, attempted in 1595, succeeded in 1610. James I of England, the gunpowder plot, 1605. Paolo Sarpi of Venice, attempted 1606, etc., in which Jesuit activists were suspected of having a role, and may indeed have had one. In the popular mindset of the time, the Jesuits became synonymous with regicide and political destabilization. The Jesuit approach, and then back to Zippy. Again, I don't know who the Zippy Catholic is, so I just refer to him as Zippy since he remains anonymous. Back to Zippy. The Jesuit approach, or more fairly, a prominent and pervasive Jesuit approach, has always been to downplay and subjectivize the moral law as a way of making the church seem more familiar and appealing to non-Catholics, especially Protestants. From this point of view, if pervasive everyday practice is contrary to the moral law as traditionally understood, then what has to change is our understanding and application of the moral law. You see how he turned that? You see that? To accommodate everyday practice and get these people into the spiritual and sacramental life of the church. But now, Zippy doesn't say this, but I will. But you can't be in the spiritual and sacramental life of the church when you're committing sins against what is known to be the moral law. Again, if it was true in 33 or 30 AD, it's true today. And if it's not, then you're going to have to redefine what truth is. What's truth? Conformity of the mind to reality. What's reality? Now, this would be akin to saying that we have, you'll see, Mr. George, we have spiritual research, please. And we have concluded from our spiritual research that the soul has a changed composition. The spiritual makeup of the soul is indeed changed since the modern world. You're going to have to start arguing now that souls aren't souls, or they're only partly souls, and that they must bow to the will of contemporary thought. I thought the whole point of having a truth, magisterium, a teaching, a moral law, a transcendent law, was specifically because it was transcendent. Not because it was ad hoc or at will, fiat. I must have gotten it wrong somewhere along the way. By the by, let's see here, hold on. Josh, who comes in the form of the thing with the avatar of the thing. We're up to 5 brave male souls. Josh says, miniature, count this Jew in on praying the rosary this Friday. My, oh my. We've got 2 Protestants, a Jew, me, and Cunningham. And you wonder why the church is in such disorder today? Cowards, surrounded by cowards. Now, it's not as though that these tweets are hidden. If you're following that particular hashtag, well, then you can see that particular tweet. It's not hidden. It's in plain sight. The important thing is, you know what? Let me try it again. Boy, you're going to paste that in there. To friends, how about we just make friends and family, okay? I'll scratch business associates and the family that I am part of. That should come out as a daily prayer of the Holy Catholic. There you go. All right. Now, men have less of an excuse if they're on Twitter. Let's see. We'll troll the waters again, shall we say. The conclusion that Zippy makes is the important thing is Catholic unity, you see. And if the moral law is a cause of disunity, well, then that implies a problem with our understanding of or application of the moral law. What is important is how people actually live, not the abstract moral demands of the gospel. Jesuits have been doing this for centuries, and the fruit of this approach are manifest. We are all Jesuits now. You know, when you throw up the fruit of the labor as some proof of what has happened or what's going on, the immediate reaction you get is, now, wait a minute, just because attendance is down at Sunday Mass, just because more people think that abortion is okay, in some instances, 73% of Catholics today, just because divorced and remarried Catholics are now majority populations inside every diocese in the Western world, does not mean that we've flown away from traditional teaching. And it does not mean it's been bad for the church. Okay, well, I have a question for you. This is a very simple one. Sit down, romper room. Apostate boy. How many sins did Lucifer and the boys commit again to get kicked out of heaven? Just pop quiz, hotshot. How many did it take to get kicked out of heaven? How many? Your time starts now, Roger. Best of luck. Now, of course, you all know the answer. I don't even need the Jeopardy theme. All right, stop that. One. Took one. We read, when we read tales of those that have been blessed with trips to the judgment seat and blessed with returning from said trips, that not a lot of people get past judgment. You know, the ratios are awful in some of the ones that have been witnesses. 6 in 33,000 and 4 in 60,000 in two occasions. People that have gone to judgment and then have been given reprieves from God and sent, hey, go back and tell them what you just saw, all right? maybe they'll believe that verse in the gospel that says that strive to enter through the narrow gate. Mr. Church, they didn't mean that. You need to listen to some Protestant. That's not what they meant. Oh, it isn't.